Einen wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Inside Moin, ich bin der Manuel und heute haben wir einen Gast, der leider kein Deutsch kann, deswegen werde ich direkt umschalten auf Englisch. Wir haben heute ein Interview mit John Hare, der ein neues Kickstarter-Projekt gestartet hat und er wird uns hoffentlich selber davon erzählen, um was es geht. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So, I just mentioned your name, but maybe you should introduce yourself to our listeners, who you are and where you're from.
Yeah, my name is John Hare. I'm a game designer. I've been making games for about 30 years. I used to own Sensible Software along with a friend of mine called Chris. So we made games like, we started off in the Commodore 64 with things like Whizball and MicroProse Soccer and Shoot 'em Up Destruction Kit. And then moved on the Amiga to things like Megalomania, Sensible Soccer, Cannon Fodder, etc. And we sold that company to Codemasters in 1999. And since then, I've been working on many different games projects, either as a consultant on different things or running my own company, Tail Studios, which has done a lot of stuff on mobile and digital downloadable content over the last 10 years or so.
So I was raised and born with the Amiga. My first computer actually was an Amiga, thanks to my dad. So I was grown up with playing Sensible Soccer. I don't know how many joysticks I destroyed playing Sensible Soccer and of course Kickoff and games like that. And I loved Megalomania. And of course, I think Cannon Fodder, you also worked on Cannon Fodder, right?
Yeah, I designed that, yeah.
Yeah, that could have been my first Pixel Blood, I guess.
Ah, terrible. Green Blood in Germany, I guess.
Yeah, of course. So you founded Sensible Software with your co-partner. How does this work? Like, so many years have passed since Sensible Soccer, and you're starting a new Kickstarter campaign right now, right?
Well, it's quite interesting because a lot of people, I've been seeing what the comments that people make, which is quite interesting. And I haven't really ever disappeared. I've just been doing commercial consulting stuff as a designer. So, I don't know, working on a Doctor Who game or a boxing game or an M&M's game or a Casper game or something. I think the reality is it's been pretty hard to put out original games for a long time, a long time, actually. Since about the late 90s, it was very hard to sign original IP games up with the publishers because there was a short period towards the end of the 90s where new publishers came into the fray, took on a few games on the newer consoles, which were new at the time, PlayStation and all that kind of stuff. Did quite badly with them because they often chose the developers didn't give them what they wanted, or sometimes they got good developers like us at Sensible, but we also struggled with 3D at the time. And consequently, there was a long period for about 10 years up to about 2008 where you couldn't sell original games at all. So during that time, I was trying desperately to sell original games. My own, working with other people, wasn't possible to do it. It was only when we got to the touch phones, really, because the mobile phones, the early ones, were terrible also for original stuff. It was only licensed stuff. It was only really in 2008, really, the window opened. And, you know, we got a few games coming out that did rather well then. But even since then, it is possible to make original games now. The problem is the volume of titles in the market is so massive, you can't get discovered. I mean, I made a pretty good word game called Word Explorer last year on mobile, which is actually rated really highly, but unfortunately with the volume of titles out there, it's very hard without a huge marketing budget to push it. And
yeah, we talk a lot about indie developers and two indie developers, especially in Germany, and it's very, very hard to bring the game to the people, right? Like to be recognized.
It's been you know, it's been difficult for me with some kind of a name behind me. It's just been the way that the market's gone, and so with Sociable Soccer, the idea is to try and get some of the funding on Kickstarter. I've got to say, some people are commenting that the budget is large. The budget actually isn't large enough to fund the entire game that we're asking for. It's making a decent quality game on PC and modern consoles, it's not easy to do, you know?
Yeah, and, of course.
And I think often people, it's very hard for the public to understand with a different plethora of different platforms we have and different game types and what things really cost. I mean, just adding online multiplayer to something costs a huge amount of money and time. And that's hard to understand if it's not really your world you work in, but it's true. So it works.
Was it easier during the Amiga days to release new games because there weren't that many different games being released simultaneously?
Oh my God, the Amiga days were perfect for many reasons. I'll tell you why they were perfect. Number one,
it was Amiga.
When Sensible Soccer came out in 92, there were 1,000 games released that year.
Mm-hmm.
Same in 2002 on PlayStation 2, it was also 1,000 games. If you go forward to last year, there was something like, just on iOS, there was 95,000 games last year.
Yeah.
And all the other platforms, there were quite a few. But again, console is more controlled. But what was ideal about the Amiga was some perfect things. Number one, there weren't too many games. Number two, the public were very open to new game ideas, the general buyers. Number three, the platform holder itself, Commodore, didn't have any TCRs or regulations we had to go through. We could just put stuff out. And number four, the publishing companies had money to pay us to make the games in advance. So all these things coincided and the machine was great to work on. And we didn't have to worry about complex technical work. The machine was quite easy to deliver games to, so it was a dream for all those reasons. Those days have been long gone for a long time now.
Could you tell me a little bit about how did you come up with like the way Sensible Soccer plays, which is a factor now for the new game you're working on? But what was, for people that aren't like 30 and plus something like me and were grown up with Sensible Soccer, what was the magic of Sensible Soccer?
Well, it's quite interesting. There's several ingredients. Firstly, before we made Sensible Soccer, we made a game called Megalomania, and we basically accidentally came upon the viewpoint from Megalomania that worked for Sensible Soccer, which was quite zoomed out players, to give you a lot of vision on the pitch to strategically see where you can pass the ball and you can build moves up quickly. The game moves quickly. The camera moves quickly with you. The camera also allows you to see in front of yourself more than behind. If you play it carefully, you'll notice this. Firstly, it was the viewpoint. Secondly, it was the camera. Thirdly, was the way we do the player selection system, which is a special kind of system which other games have never really cottoned onto. You'll notice our game doesn't have a switch player button because it doesn't need it, because it finds the right player for you most of the time. This is a complex bunch of different systems.
It was very intuitive, right? Like you could give someone the joystick and he was able to play it. Like,
correct. And the way you get the intuitivity is by a series of different calculations in the background, which kind of interprets what the player's input is into understanding what player he wants to use. And then the passing system is quite interesting how that works. Obviously, we put some kind of refined aftertouch system in. And then kept on working on that and working on that over the years to put little subtleties to it, like sliding in and deflecting the ball in a certain angle when you touch it and things like that. That's on the playability, I think. The speed of it and everything worked. I think also the fact that defending is as much fun as attacking. That always helps to push Sensible Soccer, because half the time in the game you're defending, you're not attacking. Yeah. So that's going to be fun as well. And I think we managed that quite well. And then that's on the gameplay side. And then I guess on the other side was just all the different teams in the world, all the different competitions, the silly teams. And then with SWOS, of course, the career mode, the whole world of football there at your feet.
How did you experience the switch from the type of game that Sensible Soccer was, like very arcadey, but still very deep soccer experience to the football games we have nowadays, like FIFA and Pro Evolution? Where did that happen, that switch? Because it's like two different genres, right?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that the prime camera angle is the clue.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Sensible Soccer puts you very much in the position of being a football player / manager. In other words, the goal at the top is where you're aiming. The goal at the bottom is what you're defending. If you've ever played football, this is how you think. Mm-hmm. The goal behind you is what you defend, and the goal in front of you is what you attack. And you want that viewpoint to maximize the options you've got to use the ball, to pass it around, to see that you've got someone coming in to spot some danger as a defender, to intercept the ball, etc. The angle of FIFA and Pro Evolution Soccer, FIFA particularly, because FIFA really set this in motion, coincided with the advent of the PlayStation and Mega Drive, really. And and the start of use of a more three-dimensional... I can't remember if the first FIFA was actually in 3D. It was pseudo-3D on the Mega Drive. I can't actually remember. But it started to use that viewpoint from the side of the pitch, which other games had used, some others had used, which to me is very much a spectator's view, not a player's view.
Feels like a television.
Yeah. So it's like the concept is that the experience of football is about the experience as a viewer or a spectator. I don't actually really relate to this very well. Of course, I do actually watch a lot of football on TV. I also go to football matches and also play football. But when you're playing a football game, surely you want the view of the player. And I think it shows a division in mentality. I always used to think to myself in the early days that the difference between computer and video games was the computer games were a little bit more open-minded, and video games were kind of trying to emulate television more. I don't know why I thought that, but I think that obviously a lot of people found that very agreeable and popular, which is kind of interesting, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
So it seems that the commercial view was that the viewing it like TV was the more popular way for a while. But then again, I think that the average intelligence of the... I'll say this carefully and properly. the advent of consoles, we got a different demographic of players, different demographic of people buying the games. People who wanted stuff more laid on a plate for them. People who didn't want a keyboard on their machine. People who were maybe more TV focused in the first place. And the type of consumer we got changed. And by the time we got to about 1999, things had totally changed. Yep. You had big media companies involved, people wanting to push games more as products rather than interesting things, you know, interesting new things. And everything changed a little bit, I think. And, you know, I have to say, I think over the years that EA have done a very good job with FIFA. I think it wasn't great at the start, but I think they pulled it around and made a good game. I think Pro Evolution Soccer also had its day and is trying all the time to compete.
But it's a totally different feeling from the old soccer
games. Well, and this is what we're doing with sociable soccer. We've got no intention to take on FIFA or Pro Evo. I mean, they're very good at what they do, and their space they sit in is already crowded. We want to say, look, remember games like Sensible Soccer? Wouldn't it be great if you could play a game like that, but slightly modernized so it works online? We intend to make sure that the gameplay comes first, the graphics support it. I have to say that, and I know many people have said, we have had attempts to do this before and it's not worked. I'm working with an absolutely brilliant development team at the moment, a Finnish team. They're very experienced guys. Their portfolio speaks for itself, that they've worked on in the past, the various people on the team. And I'm very confident we can produce a high-quality game with the speed and immediacy and the intuitive nature that we want, and make it good-looking as well, but as a secondary thing.
Yeah, that was my next question. You don't try to compete with FIFA and PES, because that wouldn't be possible with such a budget and such a team, right? It's like a totally different genre. The only similarity is that it's based on soccer.
I think there's two things. Firstly, we don't try and compete with FIFA and Pro Evolution Soccer. We can't. Secondly, we don't try to be Sensible World of Soccer, because it's not Sensible World of Soccer. You know, Codemasters manage Sensible World of Soccer, and there's space for a Sensible World of Soccer kind of thing in the market, certainly. And maybe given a second or third iteration of the game we're making, we'll be able to add the whole transfer part of SWOS as well, and the huge world market. But you have to take these things a step at a time. And, you know, SWOS took us 3 years to make. And we're covering lots of platforms as well. So we've got to be pragmatic about the order that we do things.
So what is your approach with sociable soccer, how it's called now? What's the main difference? Like, what's the new approach?
Well, I mean, let's start with where we're coming from, the base of it. So you'll have the basis will be what people are pretty much used to with something like Sensible or Soccer. You'll have single player and multiplayer, local multiplayer games, up to 8 players on one machine, mm-hmm. in the old way of not 8 at a time, 2 at a time, but the old way people used to play Sensible Soccer was everyone came around someone's house, 3 or 4 people, had a few beers and some pizzas and played all night.
Yeah, we call that couch co-op.
Couch co-op, or it's called hot seat, or it's called local multiplayer, but that's very much supported in this game. So we've got friendlies, which turn into a series of friendlies. We've got about 30 preset competitions, things like 4 different leagues and the cup in England. I think there's 2 leagues and the cup in Germany. Mm-hmm. Same in Spain, same in Italy, league in France, league in Holland, league in Scotland. Tournaments similar to like Champions League and UEFA Cup, World Cup, and all the national teams, all the national championships, European, African, Asian, etc. There's about 30 tournaments. And then there's the ability to make your own tournaments, what we used to call DIY tournaments in Sensible Soccer, something similar to that. 30 trophies to win as a single player. That's all the single player mode. Mm. And then your stupid custom teams as well. Apart from the club sides and the national sides, there'll be custom sides. Silly ones.
How do you approach a license topic? So there will be like a German national team, but there's like just Pixel guys, and it's not Pixel.
The guys, the models are pretty decent. I'll explain about that a bit later. The team will be called Germany. They will wear white as their first kit. The names will be what's acceptable to get away with.
Yeah,
we're not going for realistic faces. It's not that kind of a game. At this stage, you can't pay for everything at once. Paying for the licenses right now would just be ridiculous. So I did get a quote from someone for some kind of license yesterday, actually, and it's quite terrifying, the amount of money.
No, of course.
We have to tread the line of what you can get away with licenses, which actually we did towards the end of SWOS anyway, because we had to. But all I've spoken about so far is the game modes, which are what people are used to. The thing that really excites me from a design point of view is the new game. It's the new game modes that we're adding to the game on the online multiplayer side. So on online multiplayer, it kind of works like this. When you first log on to the game, it will ask you for your name. So you type your name in. What team do you support?
Of course, the SC Freiburg here, our local team.
Freiburg.
Yeah.
Freiburg. Okay. So it would ask you which nationality are you, and you'd say German, and it would say which team do you support, and you say Freiburg, and then it would say, okay, now make a 3D player avatar of yourself. So you make a player avatar that looks like you, and then it says, right, we've got these silly clans. Your guy's got to join a clan. It could be a clan of death metal fans or surfboarders or biology students or whatever it might be. Okay. Mm-hmm. Choose from the clans on offer and you join that clan. So your player avatar physically joins that clan, and you'll see in the team, there'll be the player avatars of loads of other people within that clan. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but when you play matches with your clan, you will still control all of the players, but all the other guys in your clan will also control that team. Mm-hmm. So they'll have you as one of the avatars within their kind of team.
But as an AI player?
No, just as the full team. So then what happens
of course,
is,
sure.
Then what happens is online, you're now actually playing for 3 teams. Mm-hmm. You might be playing for Germany, for Freiburg, and for death metal fans, okay?
Okay.
These are your 3 teams you've got. Mm-hmm. So basically, the system will find online at any time, probably about 6 or 7 different matches you can play for those teams. So it might say you could play for Germany versus England, or Germany versus Japan, or Freiburg versus Bayern Munich, or Freiburg versus Inter Milan, or Freiburg versus, I don't know, Norwich, my team. Mm-hmm. Your clan, your death metal clan might be to play against, I don't know, newsreaders or
The mighty beard.
The mighty, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter, okay? So you just choose which match you want to play. So if you play as your clan, you'll play against another clan.
Mm-hmm.
You'll control that whole clan team. You'll select who's on the bench and everything. But your other clan mates who play matches, they'll have the same kind of team to use, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying.
And just collect points or like
yeah, exactly. Stuff, yeah. I explain how that works. So the way it would work, say, on the club side, is that when you play as Freiburg, the actual team will be all the real Freiburg players with a slightly strange names, although you can edit the names and you can also download name files.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a kind of traditional way of doing it.
Yeah.
So there's all your Freiburg team, and you can play in them in their league. Now, we've got roughly 400 club teams, I think. So we're going to divide those into about 8 divisions of 50 teams each.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're online, it will automatically check who from the other 49 teams in your division is available for a game and offer you to play a game against them.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Same from them to you. So you play as Freiburg against, I don't know, Dortmund, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay. And at the end of the match, it will either give 3-1 or 0 points to both teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams are sorted in the league division by the average number of points per match played for that team.
All right, yeah.
Now, this works well because obviously there's going to be more Munich supporters than there are Freiburg supporters.
Mm.
So
it's not the collection of all points, but
it's averaged out. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's actually what the system they use to work out the best manager in the manager tables.
Mm-hmm.
So this will give us teams going up and down the league as the average points goes up and down. Every week we will promote and relegate the top 10 teams from each league
mm-hmm.
up and down. So you can basically spend your whole life playing for your club and trying to push them up the league. Another little bonus, and you can do the same with your national team as well, although we'll probably restrict the national team games to not having so many. This should be a bit special.
Mm.
But if you play really well for your club, your player avatar will actually get called up to join the squad. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So your player avatar is now sitting there alongside the real Freiburg players or Liverpool nice. Players, whichever team you support. And he can play some games. You can put him on the pitch. You'll probably put him up front, get him to score a few goals.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to do badly with the team, he will get dropped. And then you have to play well again to get him back into the squad.
Mm.
If you do really well with him, then your player avatar may get called up to play for Germany.
Okay, cool. So that's where the whole sociable part comes in, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you're playing with a clan. Basically, you're playing with all the other Freiburg fans in our system against all the fans of the other clubs.
Mm.
It's very much, we're using the natural clanning of football fans.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, playing with the Germany fans against England, Argentina, Brazil, whoever.
Mm.
So, and at the same time, you've got a meta game that your player avatar, you're advancing his career, jumping between 3 different teams, the clan, the club, and the country.
Mm. So, but from the matchmaking perspective, all teams are equally, because you control every player. It's like only a skill-based game, and it's not like that Munich has better stats than Freiburg and stuff.
Right? Yes. Thank you for asking the question. Absolutely. Well, every team is equalized with the same points. Of course, the skill distribution will be different between players, so the star players are still the star players.
Mm.
But yeah, it will be totally equalized. We had a little button in SWAS which was equalized teams on or off.
Mm.
So actually how we're going to do this in for the online leagues, equalized teams will permanently be on.
Okay, cool.
So I'm really excited about this because to me it's quite innovative. I mean, I know that other games have different ways of handling online multiplayer, but I think our one's going to be pretty cool.
Mm. The game is supposed to come out for like PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. Will there be cross-platform multiplayer, or will the multiplayer matches be on each platform?
Good question. speaking to one of the more technical guys in the team the other day, he said, please can we not have cross-platform for first
game? Sounds complicated,
so I guess that's going to be the call.
But at least the leagues and the stuff, that could be cross-platform because that's just like the score-based, right?
That's actually very true. Yes, very true. So that's actually a nice idea. there's no reason why the leagues can't be cross-platform.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when is the game supposed to be out? You mentioned that the Kickstarter is just like one part of the plan. So you're working already on the game. There's like,
we've been working on it for about a month. Mm-hmm. It's playing quite well. We've had a bit of a blip with the art team because our two main artists were in hospital last week, which kind of set us back a little bit. So people keep on asking to see more of the game, and we're like, well, we've got no real player models in at the moment. We're still making them. so we will soon have the game with the proper art, and it's already playing pretty well, actually. It's not finished, but it's playing reasonably well. We intend to have the PC and the two console versions out for the very end of next year. And that's kind of the start of what we're doing. Then we'll see what happens from then, you know.
So you're aiming for like next year, like 2016, end of 2016.
Yeah, end of 2016 is the target, yeah.
Yeah. What happens when the Kickstarter, is there a plan B for when a Kickstarter doesn't work?
When it doesn't work? Well, at the moment, we really need more people to come on the Kickstarter and pledge. We're getting a lot of people come in. A lot of people seem to be positive about it. We could do with a higher percentage of people converting. We've got the regular conversion at the moment, which is about 3% of people actually pledging. Yeah. We could do with a few more if people are interested. We're looking at regular publishing routes as well for the game. You know, it's quite a big undertaking to make this. So there's a number of different ways we can approach getting this game to market. I hope the Kickstarter campaign comes off. I hope that the supporters and the people behind it are excited about it. And really what the Kickstarter campaign offers people is a chance to get themselves into the game, to guarantee themselves a copy, to get all these bonus things associated.
And be part of the project. Like you could still form and bring ideas in like cross-platform leagues, for example.
Yeah, exactly. So we do hope that more and more people come to the project, but of course we've got to be pragmatic and understand the reality. The problem we have is £300,000 seems like a lot for a Kickstarter project, but actually it's not enough to make a cross-platform game that's online like this. So we have to have several plans, a plan B and a plan C, and we have them all tucked up our sleeves. So
I think Kickstarter is the main priority right now.
Yeah. Kickstarter is the main priority right now. If it doesn't come off, then we'll take another route. You know, if that fails, it's unfortunate, but it doesn't mean the game won't come out. Hmm. You know,
and it helps to show the publishers that there's an interest in the game in games like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it can't do any harm. So I think we're currently. I mean, don't quote me on this, but I think we're the most backed video game on Kickstarter at the moment. That's live. Not, you know, there's some stupendous historical ones, but it's slowly been depleting in popularity, Kickstarter stuff. But I think we're the most supported now. The problem is we need a relatively large goal because we've had to pick a number that we're kind of comfortable with delivering something on our promise with.
Is it a total coincidence that, like, in the same year, like a couple of months before your Kickstarter campaign, Dino Dino's kickoff was like come back to the world in the same
year? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I spoke to Dino a couple of months ago, the truth is that I've been working on this idea for a football game for the last 5 or 6 years, and I'm sure he has as well. And it's about what other opportunities are out there in the market as well. At the moment, the reason I've decided to start this game is nothing to do with Dino. It's because I met an amazing development team who wanted to make a football game with me. You know, I didn't have the option with a great team before, and I didn't want to make a lame, awful football game because there's too much riding on it for me. So the coincidence is I happened to meet this team in Helsinki about 2 months ago, and that's what started the idea of doing this for me. I'm sure with Dino it's something he's always wanted to do. You know, he's a great game maker. You know, Kickoff's a great game, and I hope he has a lot of success with it. You know, I think there's plenty of room for both of us.
Yeah, I think it's good for both games, like when games like that have a comeback.
So that's kind of my view on it. I mean, I'm very ambitious with the game we're making. I've had two or three successful football franchises in my life. I want to make this one work as well. And I think that I know how this works. With sociable soccer, people won't really see what we're doing until they play it, and then they'll get it. Unfortunately, because it's fairly complex to make, there's quite a lot of different game modes, as I mentioned, and we've got to get the playability right, get the multiple versions of doing controls and camera and stuff right. It will take a while before we can deliver it and people can see the vision.
Are you planning to make like an early access phase for backers? Or
yeah.
Can they get early in the game?
People early access on PC. Even if they want the console versions, the early access will be the PC version. Mm-hmm. And it will be like 1 or 2 months before completion.
Great. I wish you best of luck with the Kickstarter campaign. It's running another 20 plus days.
About 23 days left, yes.
Yeah.
If people want to know what they can do, if they're interested, please go to kickstarter.com, mm-hmm. search for Sociable Soccer, and pledge some money, whatever level you want.
Yeah. I will put the link in the blog post, of course. It's Sociable Soccer. It's easy to find. You get some screenshots and early prototype game footage. So take a look at the campaign, and I wish you best of luck.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with the game. See you.
Cheers.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.